Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning. Good morning, Fusion Church. Amen. I see the thumbs up, so you must be hearing okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. We are this week, we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's been somewhat of a very strong week with all that's been going on and remembering 9/11, I know where I was at that particular time. I was away in the military in a school when we got that news, and it's still something that is very deep in a lot of people's heart, what took place. And this week we remember that. And then on top of that, we also see the assassination of Charlie Kirk, who was a believer. He spoke, with all his heart, and his life was taken this week. And so there's so much going on, and we need to make sure that we keep our focus on the Lord. When you see and you hear all these things going on, that we do not allow fear to creep in, but to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord at all times. Okay, let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you, because no matter what we see here or what's going on, Father God, you are in control, Father. You are in control. You still hold our lives in your hand, Father God. And I just want to thank you for that, Father, because what better place for us to be than to be in the potter's hand, to be in your hands, Lord. So I just thank you for you, because you hold us and you keep us, Father. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters. I ask you to touch them, to bless them, that you would just be there with them. And I just thank you in advance what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to continue to do upon every single one of their lives. Speak to us this morning. Let it be you and not me. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, a little stretch right there. All right, I've got a lot of reading to do. So let's get going. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and the others with them, besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they're in Hazaron Tamar, which is at Gedid." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. So Judah gathered together to ask for help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God, our Father, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelt in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name's sake, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before the temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now there are people of Ammon, Moab, and Monseer, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us for coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us in the inheritance. 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. 13. And all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeroel, the son of Matanish, a Levite, and the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come by the Ancient of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeru. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping him. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohanites and the children of the Kohanites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who will praise the beauty and holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, mercy endures forever." 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Monseer who came against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Monseer to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked at towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they can carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering spoils because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Bereshish, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Bereshit until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with string instruments and harp and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God on all the kingdoms of those countries, when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. 31. So Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi, and he walked in the way of his father Asa, and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not directed their heart to the Lord God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, indeed, are written in the book of Jeru, the son of Hanani, which is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, aligned himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who acted very wickedly. And they aligned himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion Gabi. But Elisha, the son of Davi of Maresh, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have aligned yourself with Ahalish, the Lord has destroyed your work. Then the ships were wrecked so that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Amen and amen. Whew, that's a long one. A lot of big words there. I know I broke some of them up. You know, I can only do what I can do. Good. It's all good. You know, as I read this chapter, you know, and the author is believed to be Ezra. You know, the word chronicles means an ongoing an account, like a journal or a diary. That was the chronicles mean. And First and Second Chronicles were not always, you know, two separate books. You know, they separated the books later on because they were so long, and they did that to make it easier for the translation. The purpose of the Chronicles is to teach believers how to face hard circumstances by trusting God, seeking his guidance and power, and responding with worship and with praise. And it starts off that this chapter one, that this three different kingdoms, you know, at the for the Moab and Ammon and others of the Ammonites, you know, they came against Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, you know, he was a righteous man. He was a devout ruler who promoted religious reform. He followed the ways of the Lord to his best of ability. And that's who he was, you know. And in verse 2, it says that, and some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming. So this multitude was coming against Jehoshaphat. And my question would be, you know, for us this morning, it says, what do we do, you know, when we receive negative information? What do we do when we get a bad report? You know, what do we do when hard times hit us? You know, some people will turn to their loved ones, to their husbands, their wives, sometimes to our mothers and fathers, and sometimes to a close friend. You know, but what does Jehoshaphat do when he received this information in verse 2? It says in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat feared the Lord. And the word fear means reverence, respect, you know, for God's majesty and power leading to obedience. That's what it means. And he says there that he set himself to seek the Lord, to proclaim a fast, throughout the land. And pretty much we all know about a fast, but for those who do not understand it, it is a time set apart to seek the Lord. And most of the time it is being done by removing certain foods, removing certain things that we enjoy, to spend this time as we seek the Lord. In Ezra 8:21, it says, "Then I proclaim a fast at the river of Ahur, and that I might humble ourselves before our God to seek him," you know, the right way for us, the right way for our little ones and all of our possessions. So it is just taking some time to spend with the Lord. That's what they were doing, you know, to seek his guidance, you know, because to do different things, we need the guidance of the Lord and we need to seek him. In Philippians 4:13, it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So wherever it is that we're facing, if we trust God, if we seek the Lord, you know, and we call upon him, he will guide us. He will strengthen us to help us to overcome. And in verse 4, it says that Judah gathered together and asked from the Lord, you know, so they gathered together to seek the Lord, to, you know, to ask, you know, how are we going to get out of this vast army, you know? So here, you know, in verse 5, it says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord, you know, so what? So he was being a leader. He was leading by example, you know, and what did he do? He prayed. That's what he did. You know, he called for a fast and now he prays. And pretty much, you know, he starts saying this prayer in verse 6. He says, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God of heaven?" You know, so he's asking God these questions. You know, for me, that's just like taunting God. You know, are you not powerful? Are you not good enough for us? You know, and he says all these things. Are you not over the kingdoms of the nations? You know, and in verse 7, are you not the God who drove the inhabitants out of the land before your people Israel? So pretty much as he's saying all this, he was just affirming a prior prayer that Solomon said back in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 34 and 35, when Solomon, you know, he built the temple, he said this prayer in verse 34 of 2 Chronicles 6. It says, "When your people go out to battle against the enemies, wherever you send them, when they pray and to you towards this city which you have chosen and to the temple that I have built you, then hear from heaven the prayers of their supplications." So this prayer was done before, and here Jehoshaphat, you know, he's pretty much repeating that prayer, you know. So he was reminding God, you know, of all that they have been through, what they have gone through, you know, and he was just seeking the Lord. Then as he's doing all this in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehizkiel, the son of Zechariah, a prophet, you know, and he started to prophesy. He started to prophesy. And this is the words that he gave in verse 15. He says, and he said, "Listen, all you of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God." The battle is not yours, but God. This reminds me of Exodus 14 and 13 and 14, when Moses was before the Red Sea and the enemy, the Egyptians were coming. He also said a prayer. He also said a prayer. And it says that Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall see no more forever." The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord is the one that we need to turn to when we go into difficult situations. He is the one that we need to seek his help, to seek his guidance. And he continues, he says, tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come. So he tells them, tomorrow, go down. This is where they're going to be. This is where you're going to find them. And in verse 17, he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need to fight. Wow. And it's wonderful that we have someone that's going to fight for us, that someone that's going to stand in for us, that someone that's going to stand in the gap. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, emphasizing, do not fear, nor be dismayed. You know, go tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So the first thing the Lord says is do not fear. Fear will cause someone to panic. Fear will cause you to freeze in your track. That's what fear does. It immobilizes you. And that's why it's telling them, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with you. Even this morning, at this very hour that we are in, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. He says, position yourself. You know, in an army, everybody has a part. Everybody has a position that they're responsible for. So he says to position yourself, to get ready. You know, even though I know that he said that you're not going to need to fight, but you still need to be ready. You still need to be ready. You're not going to say, I'm going to go to battle and leave your sword and your shield back in your tent. You know, oh, because the Lord's going to fight for me. I don't need that. No, you go prepared. You go prepared. When I was in the military a couple of years back, you know, I had a position. I had a responsibility. I've been away overseas. And many times, you know, I had a weapon that I carried with me 24/7. And they told us, the commander, when we got there, they told us, this is your responsibility. So my responsibility was that if they needed me, I needed to use that weapon. I needed to position myself. And that's what they were doing here. They were positioning themselves. And it says there, then it says, stand still. You know, standing still is the hardest thing for any one of us to do. When we have circumstances going on, situations going on, who can stand still? Because we all want to fix everything. But here, the Lord is telling them, you don't need to do anything. I got this. I got this. You know, so stand still. And then it says, and see the salvation of the Lord. Because as we're standing still and as we're waiting on God, if God is doing the work, he's going to finish that work. You know, so these are the certain things that they had to do. In verse 20, it says, so they rose there early in the morning, the next day, and they went into the wilderness. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe. Sometimes for us, the hardest thing is sometimes at different moments is to believe, is to trust God, because everything seems so negative. I mean, this week alone, like I said earlier, we're remembering 9/11, you know, at the Charlie Kirk, you know, he was assassinated. And on top of that, every other thing that has happened, to us personally, you know, but, you know, we need to make sure that we need to trust in the Lord, because he is the one that's going to establish us. He's the one that's going to help us. He's the one that's going to keep us, you know. So Jehoshaphat, you know, prepared the people, appointed those who will sing, you know, in verse 21, and they will sing this praise. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I believe that worship and praise and the difficult situation will rise up your spirit. I believe that, you know, when we start worshiping God, when we start praising God, even when we don't feel it, after a few moments of us praising him, there's a difference that comes in. We receive strength from the Lord. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we may not start very strong, but as we push ourselves to seek the Lord, as we push ourselves to worship Him, as we push ourselves to give Him the glory, you know, His presence is going to come down, and He'll fill that room where you're at. He'll fill that room, and He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. He gives you strength, and that's what He does. That's what He does. So, you know, so the hardest thing is to trust, you know, and to believe. And that's what He was saying here, to trust in the Lord. And what happens as they get themselves together and as they start singing this praise, I believe that this worship and this praise, as they were singing it, disturbed those armies around them, confused them, that they started to fight each other, that they started to destroy each other because they heard this music playing, that this praise going on, you know. And he says, now when they began to sing in verse 23 and praise the Lord, you know, the Lord set ambushes. You see, because He's the one that's going to do it. He set ambush. It doesn't explain what that is. I believe it just brought confusion. I believe they started to see the enemy by their side. They started to see the enemies coming against them, and they were actually their own armies, you know, and they destroy each other. Because he says there that the people of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, who had come against Israel, and they were defeated. They defeated themselves. They defeated themselves, you know, and pretty much Jehoshaphat, all they had to do is just show up. All they did was just show up, you know, and they defeated themselves. And in verse 24, it says, and when Judah came to that place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies all over the place, dead bodies falling on the earth. No one escaped. Why? Because the Lord was in control. The Lord was in charge. And the Lord said, I will fight this battle for you. I will take place. And, you know, and the hardest thing for us sometimes to do is to allow the Lord to fight the battle for us, because normally we want to do it. Normally we feel that we need to do something. And sometimes we do need to do something, but sometimes God is telling us, hey, time out. Don't rush into it. Let me handle this. Let me work this out. Let me take care of this. I know that through my life, there are many times situations have risen up that I wanted to do something. Oh, I need to do this. I need to get a lawyer. I need to do this. And God's telling me, you know, you're going crazy. You know, time out. I got this, you know. And when I have trusted God in the middle of difficult situations, you know, And I went in there and my heart was going like this. I've been to the courthouse. I've been before judges. Okay, not that I'm a criminal. Okay, nothing like that. But I have received tickets. I have, you know, I have to go in. And a lot of times, and I was innocent, but you know what? And pretty much everybody was telling me, get a lawyer. And I believe in the word. And I said, no, I'm going to trust in the Lord. And I didn't get a lawyer. I didn't get nobody to speak on my behalf. I told the Lord, Lord, you're going to have to speak in my behalf. I'm going to trust you. You know, because your word says that when we go before kings and princesses, I will give you the words. But I told the Lord, I don't want to use my words, Lord. You work it out for me. So I went without a lawyer. I went without anything. I had all these charges against me. And I walked out of that courtroom with no charges against me. I was there, and I heard all the verdicts before me. They were all guilty. There was not one person that was innocent. They all had to pay fines. And I went there, and I said, Lord, I'm trusting in you and in your word. I'm standing upon your promises. And guess what? Not doing anything, but just being there, being nervous, being real. And my heart's going like this. They're going to call my name. And I don't want to say anything, Lord. And all of a sudden, the door opens up. And there is the prosecutor. There is the police officer. They call me over. They had a little talk with me. They said, we want to remove all this. and just give you an obstruction of traffic, which I did obstruct the traffic and in the accident. And I walked away out of there with no points, no surcharges, nothing like that, And I had about five tickets against me, and they were all removed. And I walked out of there praising God because He answered my prayer, because I stood upon His word, I stood upon His promises, and I say, Lord, you will speak on my behalf. So no matter what we're going through, my brothers and sisters, no matter how hard it is, and no matter who we have to face, let's allow God to speak on our behalf. Let's trust Him. Let's seek Him. Let's seek Him, and He will direct our paths. He will make a way where there is no way. He will make a way. And I have seen that. I have experienced that with the Lord. So I said, so I know what it is. And here in this chapter, Jehoshaphat was obedient to the Lord. The first thing he did was seek the Lord. He got the bad news, but he sought the Lord. He fasted. He went before the Lord, and the Lord gave him instructions. What instruction has the Lord given us? What instruction has the Lord given you? Is he asked you to wait? Is he asked you to seek him more? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, trust in him. Believe in him. Believe in him when everything else tells you otherwise. Because when we believe in him above the circumstances and above what's going on, his faithfulness will come through every single time. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll give you joy in the midst of a storm, and it's just wonderful how God always comes through, just like he did here for Jehoshaphat, that they didn't have to raise a sword. All they did was just praise God. All they did was to worship God. All they did was to glorify the Lord, and that brought the enemy down. So whatever it is that you're facing today, trust in the Lord. The beautiful thing about this story, and I know my time is up, the beautiful thing about the story is that when they went up to the mountain, they went up all the way in the valley, and they saw the multitudes of all those dead bodies. It took them 3 days to pick up the spoils. You know what that is? 3 days of picking up, jewelry, of picking up a lot of wealth, diamonds, whatever it is that was there. But it took them 3 days to gather all that up. So that was their reward. That was their blessing. And not only that. Not only did they receive that reward, their testimony went out of how the Lord fought for them. The Lord fought for them, and all the nations around them fear them because of what the Lord has done. So when God makes a way, he makes a way all the way. So my brothers and sisters, whatever it is that we may be facing today, there's nothing too big that the Lord cannot handle. There's nothing too big that is no way out. God can make a way where there is no way. And not only that, my God, and I want to say my God because I want to make it personal. My God likes to show off. He likes to show off every once in a while. He likes to come through in a mighty way every once in a while. And a lot of times he waits for the last minute. So no matter how close it is, no matter if it's the midnight hour, but if we're waiting on God, he is faithful and he will come through for you. He will come through for me. And he stands there. And he stands there ready to defend you, ready to lift you up if we just turn to him and trust him. So just like Jehoshaphat in this particular chapter, he trusted the Lord. And when we read to the rest of the chapter, we realize that he was not perfect. He made mistakes. We all make mistakes. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. We all make mistakes. But the beautiful thing about the Lord is that we can always turn to him and say, Lord, I messed up. I blew it, Lord. I lost my cool. I lost my temper. Lord, forgive me. Father, I said what I shouldn't have said. Forgive me. and move on. And he forgives us and we move on. You know, we cannot stay where we are. We cannot stay condemning ourselves just because we missed the point or we missed the mark, you know, because he loves us. He loves us and his hands are always extended out to you and to me. That's why we can always run to him. And that's what I love to do. I love to run to my father when I mess up. I like to run to him because I remember, you know, being hurt. I remember being little. And sometimes I just wanted somebody to hold me, somebody to hold me. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I would go to one of my titis, I would go to, you know, somebody and say, give me, you know, and I would go crying and they would give you up. And that's what the Lord does. The Lord embraces us. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to take care of you. And, you know, and like I said earlier, before I started, we have had all these different news coming through the, you know, this week. And times of remembrance from 9/11, hard times, difficult times, you know, but we need to trust God. We need to trust God. We cannot trust man. We need to trust the Lord, you know, and we need to seek him. And when we seek him the right way, he's going to show up and he's going to show you the way. So my prayer is that God will bless you all in a mighty and special way, especially during this difficult season that we find ourselves in, to trust in the Lord. Lead not in your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So if you need direction, seek the Lord. You need healing, seek the Lord. You know, you need protection, seek the Lord. The word of God says that he gives his angels charge over us. They will take us by the right hand. They will keep us from falling. So we have angels at our disposal. We have the Holy Spirit that comforts us and ministers to our heart. We have Jesus that we can turn to. We have the Father we can turn to. You know, I keep saying, you know, you got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You got an angel and you got yourself. You make five. You got a posse. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. So when we seek God, victory is going to be ours. Just like they have victory here in this particular chapter, I'm going to speak victory over your situation, victory over your home life, victory over your marriage, victory over your kids so they can come back, whatever it is, victory over sickness. You know, because, you know, by his stripes, we were healed. That means it's something that's already been done. We need to speak it. We need to speak faith over ourselves. We need to speak life over ourselves and not condemn ourselves. Speak life. I speak life over my wife. We have, you know, we've been doing good. You know, she's been getting stronger. Hey, now she's trying to boss me around. You believe that? She's trying to boss me around. She's getting so, you know. And I say, hon, she said, no, I can do this. So now she's telling me not to do things, you know, and I want to serve her because that's my servant's heart is to serve her. And she said, no, I can take care of this. So you know what? I had to start pulling back. I had to start pulling back a little bit and say, you know, okay, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because we get conditioned in doing things. We get conditioned in how we are. You know, and when I'm used to doing things, I'm gonna be a doer, you know. And now she's telling me, okay, I can handle this. Okay, I say, okay, you're gonna go down the staircase. Yeah, I don't need your help, but I'm that guy that she said I'm gonna look from the corner. You know, I'm gonna look from the corner, make sure. You know, I'm gonna do this number. You know, but you know, but God is good. God is good. God is a miracle working God. You know, he goes beyond what we expect. So I believe just like he's blessing my home and just like he's blessing my wife, and he's going to bless you and he is blessing you. Just thank him in advance. Just say, Lord, I thank you for this healing. I thank you for this direction. I thank you for opening up doors for me. I thank you for making a way. Our prayers are powerful. Our prayers are powerful. Even upon yourself, you can put your own hands upon yourself and pray healing upon yourself in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. over your kids. If you don't have, if your son, your daughter is not home and they're running from God, you know, to just declare them saved. Just say, Lord, I thank you for their salvation. I thank you. Call it out. Call it out. Call it out. And it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Because why? Because the Lord loves when we walk out in faith, when we speak faith, you know, over ourselves and over our loved ones, over our situation. He's going to make a way. I know I talk a lot. I know I already went over. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Look at that time already. So I already went over. But you know what? My brothers and sisters, keep your focus. Keep your focus. The best is yet to come. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Do not allow what's going on around you to affect you. Allow God to give you the peace that surpasses understanding. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And let us pray. Thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that you give us so many examples, Father God, of godly men and women, Father God, who stepped out and trusted you, O Lord God, who seek you, Lord God, in the middle of difficult situations, Father, and how you gave them the breakthrough, how you came through for them. Father, you are no different today than what you were 2,000 years ago. You are the same God, the same God. Father, and I just thank you in advance what you're going to do. I pray for all my brothers and sisters. You know their hearts, you know their thoughts, you know their desires, you know their needs, you know their wants, Father. You know every detail about them, Father. Nothing is hidden from you. So I speak life over the situation. Whatever it is, Father, you know it. But I come in agreement, Father God, that you would just touch them, that you would just bring healing, that you would bring restoration, that salvations will take place, Father. As they trust in you, Father, we trust in you. We wait upon you. Thank you, Jesus, for touching my home. Thank you, Jesus, for touching my wife. Thank you, Jesus, for touching my children. Thank you, Jesus, for touching all my brothers and sisters who are listening to me this morning. I pray your blessings upon them. As I raise my hands towards them, Father God, healing will take place, Father. Restoration will take place. Joy will filter in, Lord God. I come against fear. I come against loneliness. I come against frustration. In the mighty name of Jesus, and I speak life. I speak peace. I speak comfort upon them. Thank you, Lord. I thank you in advance. I thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, all right, all right. Love you. That's what I do. Little hugs here and there for you guys. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. The best is yet to come. And I love you guys, you know, right here. Come on, look at the hearts. Man, you guys are so good. Look at all the hearts coming up. God's good. God's good. Have a blessed weekend. Enjoy the services this weekend. Thank you for coming on board this today. And that God will bless you, keep you. And I ask all that in Jesus' name.